You're now listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, broadcasting from sunny Orange County, California. Filmmaker, journalist, and film historian, Paul Booth.
Aloha. Welcome to Talking Pictures with Paul Booth. This is Review Talk with Paul and Kai.
Hi.
Today, we're going to be reviewing a documentary that I found out here is on Prime, and I did not know it's called, but this came out in 2017. It obviously wasn't a new story, but the film just hit Revry, R-E-V-R-Y, which is an LGBTQ streaming service. And they came out about 3 years ago because we had the founders on the show. So we want to thank our good friend Jonah and Potent PR for setting that up and setting this up. Before we get, since we're in a political time right now, and this is a part of our social awareness series that we're doing, and the debates were this week, but we'll plug that all out. I had mentioned to you that I thought, and I want to be real about this, that I thought Tom and Jerry was a boys' cartoon. You were very quick to tell me why would I think that? And I would really like to know what about that cartoon would appeal to non-boys.
I'm sorry. Or the alternative. I'm so sorry.
I mean, non-boys. You guys okay. Don't hit each other. Yeah, non-boys.
Okay. To non-boys. Okay. So I have to say that when you had a reaction to me thinking that that was the stupidest thing I ever heard in my whole entire life, I had to think about that for a minute. Because it had never dawned on me that Tom and Jerry would not be like just, I guess the new term amongst the kids is gender fluid in the sense that it is a part of the animal kingdom. So I guess I didn't think that girls would be left out of that club, Paul. But at the end of the day, when I was kind of thinking about... I was kind of thinking about why you would say something like that is because I guess stereotypically like gender roles, like the social construct that's been created around gender roles, especially with females, is that, you know, when you're little, they want to kind of feed girls these toys or these images or these cartoons or these books or whatever that are really about like appearance or caretaking, like take care of this baby. Here's this baby. It burps and barfs and pees. Here's a diaper. And you're like, wow, thanks. And really super excited about it for some reason. And then when you also watch Tom and Jerry, because it's hilarious, let's kind of just go with that. Tom and Jerry is based around what I feel like is just biologically human. It is a actual cat and mouse show. And in life, everyone, whether you are male and or not male, as you said, or not a boy, other than a boy. I don't know if I was called a girl or a female. Non-boy. Yeah, I was just referred to as non-boy. I'll remember that. When you're non-boy, you actually do have to... pay attention to the game of cat and mouse in life as well. And so Tom and Jerry was a hilarious way to take a look at that. And I feel like Tom and Jerry was actually super feminine in the sense that Tom is protecting Jerry the whole time. Like Tom's lady, his cat mom, his human, she was like constantly trying to like catch the mouse and like kill Jerry. And so Tom was just like pretending that he was killing Jerry. And then Jerry was like, hey, Tom, I really love making fun of you and tricking you. And that's like what our friendship is based on, this amazing trust of distrust where I'm always going to put you in folly. And Tom was like, yeah, I'm cool with that. And so that's actually like a really feminine thing to do. Like they had like an understanding where they were like constantly like in this like club of like, yeah, we have a solid, I'm a do you solid, I'll do you solid. And so, yeah, Tom and Jerry are not just for boys. They are for the non-boys as well. And I have to just say once again that I think it's the weirdest thing in the world that you would ever say that. Your turn.
You just swung my vote, and Justice Booth changes his mind from that Tom and Jerry is just for boys. I'm being serious. Like, I did not know you could have such an articulate way of saying we laugh too. You could have just said we laugh too, but that was a great way of saying it. So thank you, Kai, for that great point. I mentioned that because today's film that we're going to discuss is about a landmark Supreme Court case. There was multiple cases in this, but the film is titled Love vs. Kentucky, and it's on Amazon Prime. I'm so happy about that. You guys can check it out on IMDb TV. It's an intimate account of how two Kentucky attorneys with no background in civil rights navigate their passionate opponents, wrangle their reluctant allies, and convince the U.S. Supreme Court to rewrite our nation's definition of marriage. Okay, so obviously this is about the landmark decision to allow gay marriage and not just civil unions or domestic partnerships. Obviously, there's a million different things we could get into about this because it's such a big issue. But the film itself, I thought, did such a wonderful job of handling this controversial, and especially since I read here that they were tracking it from 2014, 2015 to when the decision came out. So this film was made over a couple of years. So I thought that was really great that it wasn't like an afterthought. We weren't seeing people sit around and discuss this subject. So how did you feel about the documentary itself, Kai, like overall? I thought it was really, really powerful. I mean, especially since we already know kind of how it turns out. So fire away.
Yeah, I mean, I really thought it was terrific. I like that you said that too. Like, it wasn't just done from the aftermath of sort of what happened afterward moving forward. I like that it was happening throughout. And you got to really see the process. And I think that's something that people forget about when we read about these types of just like fundamental human rights laws being passed and moving forward, you know, like and you can put it in the civil rights category or whatever your politics are and like whatever you believe in. I just think that it's so important to see the process and how it was received by like the state courts and what they were being met with by the state courts and then how it was received by the Supreme Court. And I thought it was really, really educational for people who didn't understand what that process was like. And I thought it was informative in the sense that to really understand what the definition of marriage was before and what the value of marriage was before and what the value of marriage to the state, particularly of Kentucky, was before. I had to just laugh out loud a few times, like as they kept repeating it over and over again. And I'll let you kind of chime in on that a little bit later as we discuss this back and forth. It just made me laugh. And that when we talk about like what this institution of marriage is, when you leave a certain amount of people out, whether or not they're heterosexual, homosexual, however they identify, I think the main question always needs to be, are they human beings? And if they're human beings, you know, why would you leave them out? State to state, nation to nation, why would their union be illegal? You know, so I just really thought it was very informative. I thought it was very eye-opening, thought-provoking, and important to talk about, especially at a time like this where we're talking about everything that seems to be taboo. And it's so funny. You can tell immediately kind of where someone's mindset is by how they would talk about this topic. Like if people are kind of are against, you know, same-sex marriages, they'll be like, oh no, now I have to talk about, so great, you're one of those same-sex marriage people. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just happen to be a heterosexual married lady that's a mother of two, but yeah, I'm one of those same-sex marriage people, you know, just believing in the equal rights for human beings. There I am again, here I go again, you know. So it's just it's so funny to me to sort of like just discuss these things with different people, to hear people who really is so steeped in religion. And when we hear, you know, some of the things that the, you know, the law was passed on constitutional reasons, you know, how the Constitution was written, the law was based upon what the Constitution said. And one of the most important things that the Constitution does talk about is that one particular religion is not going to impede everybody else's religious rights or everybody else's right to a life in this nation. And it's definitely come to be that for some reason, most of the politicians that live a Republican life are Christians, and they like to be extremely fundamental conservative, like Christians. And they've decided that this nation, for some reason, that was native for thousands and thousands of years, is now it's definitely Christian. Like, it's super Christian. And so all of the constraints need to be based upon that. And I don't want to come off as a person who does not have respect for the Christian faith, because I'm actually a Christian person. I just don't believe that my relationship with Jesus would ever, like, I don't believe that Jesus wants people to be unhappy. And I don't believe that he doesn't believe in people's love. And I don't believe that he believes that other people should be standing in the way of that, and creating these boundaries for others, as opposed to helping our fellow man and doing the very best we can for people who are either not as well off as us. You know what I mean? Like, just, we need to focus more on counting our blessings and leaving places better than we found them, people, places, and things, as opposed to just harping and harping and harping and harping on all of these things that are frankly none of our business. That's how I feel about it.
Oh yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. The religion thing, anytime we talk about religion, Kai's speaking for herself and I'm speaking for myself, and we're not speaking for other producers or filmmakers or who I mentioned, the PR rep. My whole issue when I was watching this film, and when the religion thing comes up, and this isn't just preach to the choir, this film really got me thinking about it, was I was raised Catholic. I don't want to say the church's name, but over in Kapaha, you know, the one by kind of by where you live, by the high school. And I remember I was 17 and like a month, no, 17 and like 10 months. And I walked in and this nun said, will you sign a paper saying that gay marriage will destroy Hawaii's economy? And a family friend was one of the first people to go to the Supreme Court, Uncle Joe and Uncle Pat, who I had grown up with in Waikiki. And I was like, well, why? Like, because I had kind of seen like two men who had been together 30 years and got along better than some married couples I had known at that time and since. And my dad thought I was being a smartass to the church. So he was like, well, you're almost 18. You can leave if you want. And so I actually left my religion over this. So the film was very important to me because I was just like raised Catholic, baptized, would go to church. And then I was just like, no, like you're saying, Jesus takes care of people. Jesus loves people. And what I liked about this film was that it alluded to the religious fundamentalists. It alluded to take it or leave it, how crazy you think some conservatives can get, and liberals can get crazy too. But I liked that it wasn't like hammering over the head. I liked that it was kind of just like presenting the facts. And it's like, when do you ever get to, and the historic aspects, like I was kind of thinking back, I was like, wow, what the film did for me was I was thinking like, wow, what would my opinion about this subject be had I not been a teenager in Waikiki, had I not had a dad whose pizza place was next door to the gay bars, had I not in my formative years been hanging around many aunties and uncles who were homosexual men and homosexual ladies, to really just see that there's not a difference and the quote unquote normalcy. Like that's what just kept spinning in my head was like, do I have the opinion I have because I saw it? And, you know, I've never been married, but I have been with someone for a long time and lived with them. So I can kind of quick to relate to just be like, it is a challenge. It's not all shoots and ladders. one of the reasons why we're not together is because it obviously was too hard to make it work. So for me, the film just did such a wonderful job of also kind of, I don't know, did you feel like it was saying, like, mind your own business in a nice way? Like, I love when a film's, like, just giving you the biggest message with the smallest paintbrush. Like, did you feel that way?
Well, I feel like sometimes, I just feel like when something is steeped in just the facts, like this, I felt like this documentary is very much just the facts. It was almost as if they were just rolling on what happened. Like, we're just going to follow these people, their stories, what happened. See, and that, yeah, I mean, because that's the truth of it. Like, the truth of this is that what's been going on with these people for, you know, I mean, let's see, 1967 was it? That's when interracial marriages were finally, like, legalized in the eyes of the United States government. And so if we want to just compare one benchmark to the other, 1967 until 2015 or 2017, when did it finally pass?
It's, I think it was 2016, because the film came out in 2017.
So that's a long time. Like, that is a
almost five decades.
For people to be insecure about same-sex marriages and not be capable of just minding their own business and allowing people to have their own relationship and to be able to protect their own real property and to be able to protect their own small businesses and to be able to protect their own families. Because ultimately, that's what the confines or the institution of marriage, if you look at the legal documentation that binds you to another human being, that's one of the benefits of it. You know, like, if I get ill and something bad happens to me or vice versa with my husband, his insurance, my insurance, the things that we have created together will protect my family in the future moving forward. But if you live with someone for as long as I live with my husband, you build a family with someone, but you are not recognized where you can't even go into the hospital. And I mean, talk about coronavirus and COVID in this situation that we're in right now. There are so many new legal measures and so many new things that have come to be. Like, it's ridiculous what we're asking of people just because throughout the nation, there was such an issue with the fact that these people were of the same sex. That was the only issue. They're of the same sex. And everyone couldn't get over it.
When you mentioned, and the film goes into somebody talking about an example of an accident, I really, when I was in a really bad car wreck with my ex, I remember they would not tell me where she was. They would not tell her how I was. And like, I had really bad injuries and she had bad injuries. And I just remember being like, we came in the same ambulance. They're like, sorry, can't tell you. And I was just like, and they wouldn't let me leave the room to look for her. My concussion was so bad. I wanted to walk around the room, the hospital to find her. And then it was just like, she was sitting in the lobby all concussed, didn't even know where she was. And so, yeah, so that was a really crazy thing. For me, what I liked that the film presents is I'm always curious about, like, a guest said, we had Eric Stilberg on. He was talking about Juno, and he was like, you know, I don't know if I would do Juno with how my artistic sensibilities have changed. So I really wonder, like, how this film would have been. I was trying to think, like, again, I just kept thinking, like, what would I have thought of all this? Like, not being evolved or not being, like, I just always try to think, like, what is this subject to someone who can't relate, who's, like, never been in a relationship? Or, I mean, did it do anything like that for you? Like, have you ever watched a doc and just kind of been like, wow, what would this be had if you saw this before you had a family and before you knew the institution of marriage, I mean, do you think that would have affected your opinion in any way before you really got the importance of what these people were striving for?
I mean, I don't think so. I don't know what it was in my walk through this world so far, but I just always thought that that was trash, that people would have negative things to say about homosexuals. I just thought it was trash. And I always believed there's just, as soon as someone says something negative about a homosexual, I'm like, you're a homosexual. Like, I immediately, I don't know what it is. I do not know what it is, but the moment that I will start to hear someone bashing homosexuals or just being really homophobic or having something long-winded to say in an extremely negative direction about other people's lives or lifestyles that have nothing to do with them. It's one thing if it's their family member, if it's their child, if it's someone that they're extremely emotionally invested in and they feel like it will hurt their lives, like they're afraid for their well-being, you know, because there's a lot of fear around people who it would not be the easiest thing to be born a male and then be born a male who is in love with other males. And it would not be an easy thing to do that 25, 35, 45 years ago. You know what I mean? Like the people who were in this film, who were getting married and who were fighting for this equity. I don't even want to use the term equality anymore. Just this equity where they get equity in their own lives. This has been a tough journey for them the whole time. No one in their right mind would ever choose to have this type of criticism and this type of hatred thrown at them all the time. You know, like it's a rough road. And so when people say like, oh, you choose to be gay, who in their right mind would choose that? Who would choose that? I woke up this morning and decided that I just wanted everyone in my family to disown me, all my friends to never speak to me again, and basically for me to be on my own and trying to figure this life out, and I don't know if I'll ever find love. Now these people are lucky enough to have found love. They found their twin flame, and strangers that they don't even know have an opinion about that? How rude. How basic. Like, get over yourself. Everyone just needs to, like, seriously get a hobby or lean into your own family, your own life, your own wife.
Even your own Kuleana, right? No. Such a butt out. I love this Heath Ledger quote from, he was on a Brokeback Mountain press tour, and everybody was asking, like, what do you think it's going to do? And it's such a risk. And are you worried about the hate? And Heath Ledger was... It was that con or something. He was like, instead of having a talk about like the potential hate and what the film's going to bring up, he's like, why don't we have a talk right now about why we even have to be concerned about the hate? And it's like, you could have heard a mouse have flatulence. It was like, oh, well, wait a minute. That's not controversial. And that's, you know, and he was just like, and he felt like, you know, Remy wasn't presumptuous. He wasn't being a dick. And it was just like, so that's what I just kept thinking about the film, was just like, I always went down to like that just bottom line thing that you've mentioned a few times of like, if it doesn't affect me, and I don't mean that in the old way they used to say like, oh, date him, don't date me. I literally mean like, I'm really okay with whoever someone dates or marries. Like, if they're respecting that I don't want to get married, like, I just mean it personally, like if a guy asks me to marry him, as long as they were, you know, like, okay, sorry, compliment. Thanks. I just think it's so weird. Like, and the fact that so many people had to butt in, that it took, I don't want to say the waste, cause it led to good, but to think of all the resources, all the time, all the energy, and that a conservative Supreme Court had to butt in to shut people up. I mean, that's what's so amazing about it. It's like, what more do you need? What more of a shut up do you need than when a conservative Supreme Court? I remember when I heard this got turned over, I was just like, no, it didn't. There's no way with a conservative and John Roberts as the head of the court, there's no way that this is now not an issue. And we won't get into how condoms become an issue again because tomorrow, what's her name? I won't even say her name. is about to be voted into the Supreme Court. Yeah, but anyway,
there's so many things that could possibly go back and forth in this world of, matter, in the sense that, like, as humans that are like these carbon-based life forms that are so full of these atoms that are just like, we're made up of matter. And if we were just to multiply them, I don't know, by the speed of light, we'd become this amazing energy source and do great things. But man, everyone just wants to get stuck in matter, 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 lame. But at the end of the day, I think what's exciting is people are together, you know, at the end of the day, people are married, they have their families, they're able to protect their, the things that they have created on this earth thus far, you know, and that cannot be revoked. I don't know what will happen moving forward. Once again, this is a mystery. No one can look into the future. Luckily, we don't have crystal balls. I don't think any of us would get out of bed if we did. Geez, well, that'd be petrifying. And like what you were saying earlier, like if we didn't have these relationships in our lives where we were able to get to know people of all types of backgrounds, like, you know, some people who in Hawaii, we call people who are male homosexuals, we call them mahu. And I want to be very clear that that is not a derogatory term, because it is used derogatorily sometimes, like on playgrounds, but it isn't. Mahu traditionally was known as like a person who is both. It was actually extremely special and respected traditionally in Hawaiian culture and Polynesian culture, because it's someone who embodied both feminine and masculine and was looked to as, you know, someone that you go to get information and knowledge and guidance from in your community or in your village. Were you aware of that?
Yes. We had a film on Kumuhina that was about a...
Oh my gosh. I love Kumuhina. Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. We reviewed that for the premiere.
That's so cool. So in Hawaii, we have a relationship with people who are of two energy balances. And it is not, at least the way that I was raised, I don't view it in a negative light. Like I've never viewed it as it's almost like a superpower, you know, like it's your superpower. Like not only can you take all that hatred and all that da 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 from all these people, you continue to strive forward and move forward and do great things for your community. And then if you are lucky enough to find love that's lasting and build a family, oh my gosh, that is a superpower in and of itself. And being recognized, you know, that's another thing. Like being in an occupied state, like recognition for Hawaiians is very much like recognition for people who have been marginalized in any way, you know, homosexual people, people who are considered like they shouldn't be in this country. There's so many people who have been marginalized and are constantly going to these places and spaces like the Supreme Court for recognition. Like I personally do not desire recognition from any court or any party of people who would like to say that they're in charge of things. Like I know who I am and I know what I'm about, but that's something that like, as a privilege of being a heterosexual female, I get to say, like, I was just able to go down to Pearl Market and actually went to Smith and get my marriage license. It was easy peasy, 1-2-3-Z, you know? And so maybe if my experience would have been different, I would have a different attitude about it. And I think that that's something that we need to start leaning into as a culture, as a people, as a civilization, as a country. If we want to move forward together, we have to start having more empathy for other people and their walk through this world. And if it's tougher for their walk, instead of just saying like, oh, well, they should stop making everything so tough for themselves and quit whining, I don't know, maybe we should start trying to help them out. And I feel like that was something that I really liked about this documentary, was that, like you were saying, there's so many people involved. I actually feel like that was awesome. Like all the people, all the helping hands, all the energy, you know, that got sort of multiplied by the speed of light, and it turned that matter into energy, and things were able to change, and things that people would think usually wouldn't change, but they did change at that time. Will they change again? I do not know. But like at the end of the day, like it's just very challenging for me to listen to like the the churches or to these people represent these institutions, and then talk really, really mean about other people who are being honest about their lifestyle, who are being honest about what their intentions are, and who are just looking to be given the equity that they deserve as a human right.
That's such a great way of putting it. And yes, that's a really great way of putting it. And, you know, again, love versus Kentucky. Unfortunately, we always kind of run low on time because Lord knows Kai and I could spend a couple hours tearing into a film. I'm so glad you guys can catch this on Prime on IMDb TV, but we mainly want you to check it out on Reverie. That's R-E-V-R-Y. That's an LGBTQ streaming service. They got docs and all kinds of cool stuff. I'm so glad that it took off. I can remember sitting in South Carolina on the couch. I was visiting my dad where he worked, and I just remember hearing this idea and thinking, this is really cool. I hope it clicks. I hope it thrives. So, I could not be happier about this. So, Love vs. Kentucky, it is out. You guys can check it out. For me, the last thing I want to say is I do wish everyone some peace, safety, and aloha as we head into, whenever you're hearing this, November 2020 is coming up soon. So I just want to say peace and aloha to the world. Anything you want to close with, Kai?
I agree with that. I hope that we can just devote ourselves to, as I was sharing with you earlier, Paul, just being devoted, like, take your vote, cast your vote from your heart. And after you do that, just let it go, you know, turn it over to your higher power, to the universe, whatever you believe in that gives you strength and peace and hope. And I think that we, whatever may be around the corner, we can all persevere through this. I mean, we made it this far. And let me tell you, the last 4 years, holy moly. And I do think that the best is yet to come. And I think that there's going to be a positive turn of events. I'm super hopeful for that, in the sense that we really should stop wasting so much time being so nitpicky and ridiculous towards each other. There's so much to do. And we've spent so much time wasting it on just sort of like trivial sidestepping stuff. Like, we need to really focus on our earth and on each other.
Well, thank you for that. We've been spending time on the Manini stuff, eh? With that, I will instate our first official Paul and Kai Like It. What else do you need to know? Or what else would you want to know? Whatever sounds the least arrogant to you. That's going to be our new stamp seal, two thumbs up. And you know my motto, whether it's morning, or actually this can be Kai's motto too, because she's a little worse with the time zones than I am, but whether it's morning, afternoon, evening, or whatever other crazy time of COVID day you found, make sure and watch a good movie. Aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, real conversation and movie-induced inspiration.